Hi, and welcome to Lakeshore Update. I'm Dee Dodson. On this edition of the podcast, you'll hear the latest on a State Board of Education hearing in Gary. A Northwest Indiana man gets 3 years for firing shots into a busy Hobart Walmart. Brandon Smith reports on provisions U.S. Senator Todd Young helped get into a federal spending bill. And Chris Nolte has a conversation with Porter County Sheriff Dave Reynolds. All of that and more on this edition of Lakeshore Update. Theodore Roosevelt College and Career Academy in Gary has been under state takeover since 2012 for chronic academic failure. In March, water pipes burst and the students were displaced to an alternative space for classes where they still remain. Two starkly different plans emerged to address the problems Monday evening. At a State Board of Education hearing in Gary, member Tony Walker said he will ask the board to immediately end intervention and return Roosevelt to Gary Community School Corporation and let it decide what happens next. It's unclear how long that will take.
It's hurting those kids from our perspective. It's hurting the school corporation. So the best thing to do is release it from SBOE takeover.
But the private company running the school says there's still an opportunity to repair the Roosevelt building with $25 million in private funds and transform it into a K-12 environmental studies charter school. Roosevelt alum Mary Cossie was one of the many at the meeting who say both offered options will take too long. A remedy is needed now. The alternate location for Roosevelt students won't be available after this academic year.
I want what's best for the kids, and at this point, neither one of these options will serve our kids best. We need one school, and we need excellence in academics.
The State Board of Education will discuss this issue in January.
You're listening to Lakeshore Update with Dee Dodson.
A Detroit man has pleaded guilty in a smash-and-grab robbery during which he and two others allegedly stole more than $1 million in jewelry from a Northwest Indiana jewelry store. Lakeshore Public Radio's Tom Maloney has more.
29-year-old Darren S. Bell pleaded guilty last week in federal court in Hammond to a federal charge of armed robbery that interfered with interstate commerce. Authorities allege that in January 2019, Bell, another Detroit man, and a third unidentified individual entered a jewelry store in Hobart, smashed display cases with hammers, and fled the store with $1,009,145 worth of miscellaneous jewelry in bags. For Lakeshore News, I'm Tom Maloney.
You're listening to Lakeshore Update with Dee Dodson.
A man who claimed he was acting in self-defense when he fired shots into a busy Hobart Walmart has been sentenced to 3 years in prison. 27-year-old Alex C. Hughes of Gary was sentenced Wednesday after being convicted in November of felony criminal recklessness. The September 2018 shooting shattered a Walmart store window and frightened shoppers. A 26-year-old Gary man and his 9-year-old son were wounded during a shootout between Hughes and another man. The Times reports the police said Hughes and the other man were members of rival Gary gangs.
You're listening to Lakeshore Update with Dee Dodson.
U.S. Senator Todd Young is touting a couple of provisions he helped get into a federal spending deal expected to pass Congress this week. Indiana Public Broadcasting's Brandon Smith reports that includes an issue the state legislature will debate in 2020.
The bipartisan spending deal includes a provision that permanently repeals a tax on medical devices, a major industry in Indiana. Hoosier Senator Todd Young says he's been pushing for that for nearly a decade.
This 2.3% tax on sales inhibited innovation and created a great threat to the livelihoods of some very well-paid manufacturing workers and their families.
The tax was a major source of funding for the Affordable Care Act and thus programs like the Healthy Indiana Plan. The federal spending deal also raises the legal age to buy tobacco products from 18 to 21. Young says the federal measure would still require states like Indiana to raise the age to comply. Legislative leaders of both parties and the governor have already announced their intention to push for the age increase in the 2020 session. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Brandon Smith at the State House.
You're listening to Lakeshore Update with Dee Dotson.
The man who served as one of the first African-American mayors of a large U.S. city died last weekend. Richard Hatcher spent 20 years leading Gary, once known as the City of the Century. It attracted throngs of European immigrants and Southern blacks to work in its giant steel mills. The two groups often didn't get along, but Hatcher tried to change that. Michael Puente has this remembrance.
In just a couple of weeks, Gary gets a new mayor. Jerome Prince will succeed Karen Freeman Wilson. The city is overwhelmingly African American, so it's not surprising that its current mayor and the new mayor are both black. But a half a century ago, blacks were not welcome and could only live in Midtown, an area just west of downtown Gary. Richard Gordon Hatcher saw this as wrong, so as a young city council member, he introduced an ordinance to allow blacks to live anywhere in the city.
Every time it came up for a vote, the council chambers would be packed with screaming, yelling, and they would intimidate.
In 2012, Hatcher talked to WBZ about those turbulent times in the 60s.
I introduced that bill at least six times, and it was defeated five times.
That was about the same time Gary's plentiful, high-paying steel mill jobs that employed thousands of workers for decades started to evaporate. Eventually, Hatcher got his controversial housing ordinance passed.
And so blacks were able to move wherever they wanted to move.
The momentum from that housing ordinance propelled Hatcher into the mayor's office in 1967. Hatcher's victory started a nationwide movement for blacks to gain political power on a national scale.
25 million strong, cut us in or cut it out. It is a new ball game.
That's a young Reverend Jesse Jackson. In the early 70s, Jackson and other civil rights leaders felt the time was right to capitalize on the election victories by Hatcher and other blacks. So in 1972, black leaders wanted to host their own political convention and nominate their own presidential candidate. But where? Again, here's Hatcher talking in 2012.
At that time, most large cities in the country, the last thing they wanted was to have thousands of black people coming to that city for any period of time. I suggested that Gary would take the meeting.
Yesterday, Reverend Jesse Jackson told WBEZ the National Black Political Convention, which never happened again on such a large scale, could not have been done without Gary's involvement.
Well, we probably would not have had it, as a matter of fact.
Some 10,000 people attended the convention, including celebrities and other prominent civil rights activists. Hatcher's stature pushed him to leadership roles with the National Democratic Committee, and he became an advisor to the late U.S. Senator Bobby Kennedy.
He became the power broker. He was a national leader in the most authentic sense of the word.
In the late 80s, Jackson says it was Hatcher who convinced him to seek the Democratic nomination for president.
Hatcher felt that we should make that run, but he saw beyond. He said you should run in Iowa, not just run in Black America. So he became a national force for change.
After leaving Gary City Hall in 1987, Hatcher continued practicing law and taught at local universities.
We welcome all of you to Gary City Hall and to the home of a beautiful artist's rendition of the likeness of the Honorable Richard Gordon Hatcher.
Back in October, a statue to honor Hatcher was unveiled in front of Gary City Hall. His daughter, Reagan Hatcher, an Indiana State Representative, was there to see it happen.
You know, he taught about what it meant to be a good citizen, how to fight for your community, why racial and economic justice is important, and how to make a difference.
Hatcher himself was visibly moved by the honor as he stood looking up at the bronze statue.
I'm in awe. I have not ever had a statue of me before in my life.
newspaper right now.
And I thank everyone who had anything to do with it being here.
Hatcher died Friday of cancer at a Chicago hospital. His family has not yet released details about his funeral. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Michael Puente.
Funeral services for Richard Gordon Hatcher are set for this Saturday at the Genesis Convention Center beginning at 1 p.m.
You're listening to Lakeshore Update with Dee Dotson.
Here's Regionally Speaking host Chris Nolte with a conversation with Porter County Sheriff Dave Reynolds.
The County Jail Overcrowding Task Force is created earlier within the state court system to do a statewide review of jail overcrowding. And according to the official purpose, as listed in the courts.in.gov, the task force is to identify some common reasons and maybe some local, regional, and statewide solutions. The task force did some tours visiting several cities around Indiana during 2019. One of those visits happened to be with a presentation at Ivy Tech Community College in Valparaiso on October 30th. And Porter County Sheriff Dave Reynolds, among those people who had a chance to be at that session and talk about how the Porter County Jail has been doing. And we have him on the phone with us from the Sheriff's Department in Valparaiso right now. Thanks for joining us on the program today.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. And it's an interesting task force and a problem that it seems like has always been with counties in Indiana. No matter what size of county, there's always been a case where there always been too many people clogging up the jails for whatever reason it may be, and then you have to deal with the overcrowding issue. How has it gotten to the point that this county jail overcrowding task force was created?
Well, that's a good question. I think the governor realized that there was a lot of issues regarding all the sheriffs regarding overcrowded. 1006 that was passed a couple years ago has caused some concerns with the jails. The level sixes that used to be transported to and housed in DOC in prisons now are not. Now they are staying with the jails. So that's kind of posed a little bit of a problem. And so I think the governor was getting kind of getting it from a lot of different angles on what the problems are. Every county was maybe given different problems. And I think he put this task force together to really look at what is the issue throughout the state. And that's what they did. They met in French Lick this summer. They did a tour of our jail. Then they met in Anderson. And then during those times, they had meetings and requested area sheriffs from those areas to come in and present testimony on different issues. And then consequently, as a result, they put together a jail task, overcrowded task force report. And I'm sure that's why you're calling. It was pretty pretty specific, and they had a lot of good suggestions in the report.
I understand too. Yeah, they had spent some time, and it's not all, of course, coming from the testimony that the members of the task force heard there in Valparaiso. They had the other presentations around the state as well too. But they had an opportunity to talk with a lot of people in their all the regions, as you mentioned. You had sheriff's departments and sheriffs in other parts of the state come in those particular visits and can testify about their specific problems. Was it something, I guess it seems that there are, because there are so many cases going through the court system, that maybe it was kind of a combination of things where county sheriff's departments and jails had to work with the courts and all in trying to deal with the overcrowding issue?
Well, that's true. And I think, put it in perspective, when we built this jail, when I came in the first time in 99, they had just approved money to build a new jail. And we had, that time, we had around 420 inmates. So when we moved in 2002, we actually had 450 inmates that we brought in. We're averaging right now around 320 to 340. So that was one of the questions that the task force asked us. Is what's going on in Porter County? How come your jail population is so low? And really, the answer is a combination of a lot of things. Our programs in our jail, we keep track of the recidivism, and we're showing that the programs have a direct relationship to a lower recidivism rate for our inmates. So we know it's working, and that's part of the problem. Or part of the solution, but the other is we are one of the 11 counties that was identified with Indiana risk assessment systems. So, which means our PAC program or community corrections interviews every inmate that's arrested. And if they qualify, they can be released. So that's helped us with our system, with the courts. And we accepted that. It was all based on evidence-based decision. So it was all based on information that they were providing throughout the state that they thought this could be a possible a solution to reduce overcrowdedness. And what we're seeing, it did. And it's really helped us. Not to confuse the listeners that if you commit a violent crime, that doesn't apply.
Oh, yeah.
You still get a bond. But the people in our jail, for the most part, they belong in our jail.
That's the impression I get, is that it's the most serious criminals deserve to be locked up for whatever it is until their case is handled or whatever the disposition of the case happens to be. So they're there for the duration, I guess, as opposed to somebody who just has a more minor offense.
Exactly. So, you know, there's a lot of sheriffs that are concerned. They have the perception that we're being soft on crime and our approach. And then nothing to be farther from the truth. You know, what we're doing is we're being more fair to the person that is arrested, and we're assessing his risk. So if they have a high risk, then they stay in jail. If they have a low risk, have a job, then they're released. And what we're seeing is that they're not being rearrested. So we're putting them in the system. But one of the reasons a lot of jails are having a problem, kind of touched on it, is that the courts and the prosecutor's offices are not dealing really well with the reduction of some of these charges. It's kind of confusing, but the listeners need to understand, mm-hmm. felonies are listed as 1 through 6. So 1 being the most serious, all right? 6 being the less serious. Well, a lot of our 6s are reduced to misdemeanors, okay, with the approval of the court. So it's not really impacting the system. Those people did probably deserve to get their charges reduced, and no one has a problem with that. But in a lot of counties, they're not doing that. And then they have a high level of 6, where we have a very low level of 6. And so it's not really affecting our jail population. So the task force was taking all of these things in consideration, you know, when they came in there and did the assessment.
Yeah, it sounds like that the task force with their overall purpose to kind of look at the overall problem and trying to find solutions, make recommendations to the governor and the chief justice and lawmakers as well, as I guess they have to do, which they got the report out now available for them to review. It was a question, I guess, as to whether they had to, maybe in a particular county, as you say, the prosecutor and the courts had to maybe try to find ways, if they haven't done so already, they need to find ways to come up with a better pretrial release program, which apparently is what Porter County has in place.
Right, exactly. I mean, and what they're seeing, too, is I told the task force what they need to do is there's like 45 counties of the 92 that are overcrowded. They need to look at when these jails were built. Maybe they just need to build a bigger jail. You know, maybe it's not a system problem. Maybe it's not the courts or the prosecutors. Maybe it's just the fact that their jail's too small. And they need to look at that, too. But, I mean, right now, I think one of the things that task force really touched on is that what we really stressed is that our counties are really having a problem dealing with mental health. And we do real well with detoxing alcoholics. We do well with detoxing people that are on opiates or heroin. And we're not asking for any help because we're doing well with that. But what we don't do very well is that we are not equipped and trained to deal with people with acute mental health illness. And there's a big problem in the state right now. So what we're trying to do, and we did a really good job, I think, in explaining it to the task force, because the task force then related to the governor, because the governor needs to address that. And I think he will. And that's what we hope that where the sheriffs this year can accomplish is helping with that. Because just so the listeners understand, if I get a court order to pick up someone and commit them to a state institution, they have to sit in my jail at a minimum of 2 to 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just unacceptable. And that's the problem. You know, that's a problem not only in Porter County, it's a problem throughout the state. And that needs to be addressed. And the task force report did reflect that. So I was really happy about that.
I guess when you talk about the issue of mental health issues and you say that there is a problem and it goes further up the chain, so to speak, I guess it actually goes, I guess, to the institutions, I guess the few that are out there. I know there used to be more and there are fewer institutions that are out there that can handle, I guess, people that come into the system and need the mental health help of some kind or another. It's a question they may have to do some expansion on that end, as well as dealing with crowded jails, too, I suppose.
Right. Well, yeah, I think what they're seeing is the problem with the overcrowded jails is going to be addressed. Mm-hmm. You know, I think, and we're addressing it. What they need to do is either these facilities, these state institutions, don't have the proper beds, or they don't have the proper staff. But that's kind of out of our bailiwick a little bit, but it directly impacts us. It directly impacts every sheriff because we deal with this on a day-to-day basis. People don't even realize that about 80% of the inmates that we have in our jail have some form of mental health issues. You know, if you did it 1 to 10, you know, you have the alcoholics and maybe the people that are addicted to drugs. You know, I classify them like the 1 to 4 or 5. But then you have the 6s and 7s and the 8s that are a problem. But then we have maybe 4 or 5 a year, we have an acute mental health person who's like that I classified as like a 9 and a 10. Well, then we can't handle those people. We just can't deal with them. But we have them. I mean, we get court orders that said pick them up, you know. So it's a problem. I mean, it's a serious problem. But like you said, years ago, we used to have Beatty Hospital. I don't know if you remember that in Westville. That was the mental health facility.
Yeah.
When they closed it and they made it a prison. But we had it right here, and there was never a delay. Well, now, I mean, now that we don't have the facilities like we once did, and it's a problem. We use Logansport. There's one in Richmond. There's one in Madison. There's one in Vanderburg,
mm-hmm.
in Indianapolis. But there's 92 counties, you know. So, you know, they're going to have to look at that. And I think they are. I mean, I was on the phone today with somebody from the governor's office and addressing just the same stuff I'm talking to you about. And they've made it very clear that they're aware of it and they're going to do something about it. So I think things will change.
Well, it sounds like, too, that the County Jail Overcrowding Task Force got their job done, got their report turned in to the governor and everybody else that was supposed to be getting copies of this in plenty of time so that some lawmakers can take a look at it. And maybe in turn, they'll get some bills proposed for the General Assembly session starting next month and start to work on some of the issues. And you say dealing with the mental health problem in particular first, because that's the overarching problem that everybody, regardless of the size county jail that they happen to be working out of, is dealing with.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think they did a phenomenal job of putting that together. I mean, you had two Supreme Court justices, you had senators, you had the director of the Department of Corrections, you had a sheriff on that committee, and, you know, like what we said, we don't want just a bureaucratic report. We really want some direction, and we want a solution to the problem, you know. And it looks like there's no question they put down this is what needs to be done.
What?
And That was really encouraging, and I wasn't surprised. I mean, it was very impressive that task force. They came in. They meant business. You could tell they're very serious. They asked the right questions, and I think they did a phenomenal job.
Well, I have a chance to ask you here. Were they seemingly pretty impressed with what they happened to learn, or actually get to see there in Porter County?
Well, I was very proud of that. I mean, when we were the only jail that they asked to actually take a tour. So they took a tour of our jail, and we gave them the opportunity to see all our programs and go in the cell blocks and talk to the inmates. And when's the last time a Supreme Court justice was in a jail talking to inmates? But they were very receptive to that, and they went in there and asked the questions and to see what was going on. And they actually firsthand saw our program, sat in the program, watch them and talk to the counselors and talk to what we're trying to achieve here. So I really think, and they also saw what we actually had a person that was being held on a mental health commitment. So they saw that person. So it really resonated to them of what we were doing. And I was very proud of some of the comments that were made that they thought that we were the model sheriff. I mean, model jail dealing with the issues of, and most of our issues are dealing with domestic violence and substance abuse. But they actually came in and talked to those people in those programs. So, if I was them, I would want to see that. You know, I mean, you can read about it, but when you actually go in and see the programs taking place, have an opportunity to talk to the inmates and get their reactions and their responses, I think it put a lot more meaning to what we're doing here.
Well, if anybody wants to take a look at the Jail Overcrowding Task Force 2019 report, it is out there. It's available to look out online at courts.in.gov. And Sheriff Dave Reynolds, thank you very much for spending time with us to talk about the process that you and some of the other sheriffs involved with the County Jail Overcrowding Task Force went through this year. And it's so nice to know that Porter County got some good reviews out of it as well. And thanks for spending time to talk about it today.
Thank you very much, and happy holidays.
Thank you. And you're listening to Regionally Speaking on Lakeshore Public Radio.
Regionally Speaking with host Chris Nolte can be heard each Monday through Thursday at noon on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM, and streaming online at lakeshorepublicradio.org, where you can also find podcasts of the show when you click on the program link. For the latest in local news and information, tune in Monday at 6 a.m. for Morning Edition with local host Chris Nolte. Lakeshore Update is supported by the listeners and members of Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM. Podcasts for Lakeshore Update are posted each Friday on our website, lakeshorepublicradio.org, as well as on NPR One. Make sure you search for WLPR and select us as your home station. Music for Lakeshore Update was written and produced by BenSound.com. For Lakeshore Update, I'm Dee Dotson.